It's Big Ugly Tailgate, bringing the party to the radio with Casey Studdard, Johnny Rogers, and Ashley Camrath, talking sports, food, music, and all things ATX on the horn.
You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Welcome back to Big Ugly Tailgate. I'm sitting here at the Chive. I'm staring at a bar, not drinking yet. I'm trying to make my day last. If I pour whiskey right now, that ain't good.
Well, we were chatting during the break a little bit about the Chive and, I mean, really the impact that they've made. I mean, you go into a bar now and they've got Chive TV playing. I mean, it's significantly lowering the interaction at the bar scene. We are welcomed live now by Drew Murray with the Chive. And Drew,
howdy.
First off, appreciate the hospitality this morning, letting us come and crash your party here at the Chive.
Oh, well, the party doesn't start until Johnny Rogers.
Bring in the party to the Chive.
Thank you guys for coming this morning.
Hey, there's one thing I just want to get out the way. That wall over there of the different kids you take care of and military people and families and all that, that is badass.
Amazing.
That's cool. How many people you have up there now?
Hundreds.
I mean, it's a ton. I mean, but it's what they do here is they have a wall that kind of goes downstairs, and it's a picture of, you know, a kid, a military or a family, a kid with special needs, you know. And what they do is is it once a year, or you take care of somebody or something like that?
It's throughout the year. Chive Charities help with a lot of veterans, first responders, rare disease cases, and we've raised over $11 million.
Wow. It's freaking awesome. Wow.
For all these different cases and these people. And a lot of it's due to our Chivers, the Chive Nation.
That's just the Army.
It's just people being nice.
Yeah.
And that's really what people are like, what is the Chive? It's like, first, you know, it started out as just, you know, a blog, a website with, you know, pictures and videos. And we're the happy place on the internet.
Right.
We don't deal in politics or snark. We got a coin carrying BFM coin holder Chiver right here. And it's grown to be so much more. And it was like, wow, there's this amazing community and brand loyalty. It's just people who like to have a good time, who like to have a drink, who like taking care of people.
It's good old people. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just what it is. It's the good old people in America. And it's pretty cool, though, because I did some research and see where you guys have followers of people that own, like, you know, companies, furniture company or something like that, and they'll donate. And then, you know, stuff like that. It's amazing.
It's amazing. And, you know, we have, you know, at least one big flash charity campaign every quarter, mm-hmm. Where we tell a great story on the site and get everyone behind it. And it's amazing the amount of momentum that it generates just in one day, the amount of money that Chivers commit to helping someone in need.
It's tens of thousands of dollars in hours.
I mean, it's crazy, though, because you get – and it's not – how much you donate or whatever like that. I mean, if you think of it this way, you got 100,000 followers and everybody just gives a dollar.
Exactly. And I think, Casey, you know what I mean? You're right.
It's something to look at like that. It's not bad if you have, you know what I mean? But it's, and I know it's a trust thing for people too, where they're like, well, is this $100,000 really going all to the charity? You know,
as a matter of fact, it is.
Yeah, but that's the thing is, it's like, that's what holds people back on it.
I think so many people want to give. I mean, this is the experience that I've had. And Casey, you're right. Like, so many people want to give. They just need an outlet. They need someone to say, hey, here's how to do it, or here's a great cause, or here's something to do. And what you're able to accomplish with this community that you've built. And again, you know, going back to the tailgating, like doing it for good.
Like $5. I mean, it's not that much, but
it's
that goes
a cup of coffee.
But I mean, you get enough people to do that.
Yep.
You get 10,000 people to donate $5. I mean, there you go. But I mean, it's good money. You know what I'm saying? And it's just one of those things where, you know, you and it's going to a great cause. I mean, I've seen the pictures. I've seen the kids. I've done the research on a lot of the stuff that they've given their charities to, and it's amazing. $11 million in 11 years y'all been open?
Yeah, 2008. John and Leo Ressig founded the company.
I was when y'all first opened, it was the Chive. We had the Chive at when I was in Houston with the Texans.
Yep.
And then I was like, "What's this Chive stuff?"
Why are you smiling right sitting, now, Casey?
Because you know, because the first time you see Chive, you're like, "Whoa, I love Spandex Day." Like, you know what I mean? I was like, "This is amazing." And then, you know, so it was just kind of went from there, and then I got married and kids, and I just don't get on social media. I'm just so damn busy now.
But yeah. I think you said it right. It's the happy place. You know, yeah. People just to, you know, everybody during the day needs a little reprieve from everything going on, whether it's your work, whether it's politics, whether it's, you know, whatever, you know, stress you have going. And then you just go on the Chive and just get on there, whether you're watching Chive TV at your local bar, or whether you're just, you know, in the office looking at Chive on your computer, and you get a smile on your face.
Yeah.
But that's it. I mean, that's what you need, you know, just a little break.
It's good.
Get some laughs, know that you're doing some good things. So kudos, Chive.
It's been great. And we actually just started yesterday. We've always done Friday afternoon. We open up the bar to veterans and first responders and
awesome.
Just kind of come in and hang out and, you know, let them talk. Hear some of their story. Just, you know,
we're not videotaping you guys. Don't worry.
And
no, they definitely need a break, especially our first responders from the everyday.
Yeah, but we just opened up Friday from like 1 to 4:30. We're doing tours.
Oh, cool.
And you can sign up online, and we had like over 100 people come through yesterday.
That's awesome.
It was jammed in here.
Yes. So, like, when people come on tours, like, they stop by the bar, they get one beer. I heard that. But, like, are there people still working here on their computers getting work done? Or are they mostly done at that time? Or is it distracting?
It's detrimental to productivity.
But it's great for brand awareness.
Yesterday, I actually had to, like, you know, work until about 6. And I was like, oh, God, I'm thirsty. Yeah. Thirsty. Yeah. That music gets bumping. But it's great. It's great just hanging out, meeting new people, and
that's the cool thing.
And people come in from all over. They fly in with, you know, if it's like a father and son, or a veteran, or if it's a bachelor party, they're just like, "Yo, we want to
do it."
Out.
They're part of the community, and to explain to the listeners, like it doesn't look like an office in here. You've got a bar upstairs, downstairs, a TV room. You've got a slide. You've got, I mean, even the light fixtures are really cool. A pool table, a lounge area. I mean, It is a really, really cool space with great art everywhere. It's just, if you get a chance, yeah, there's definitely, you can tell. If you get a chance, definitely come check out a tour.
I bet y'all get some, like, crazy walks of life, like, South by Southwest.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people come by, you know, they think there's a huge party going on here. And I mean, sometimes there is.
Yeah.
This is more, like, sometimes more of a respite from...
For you guys.
From the madness of everything going on. You're like, oh, I got a place I can go and hide.
And hide and
security.
Oh, air conditioning, quietness.
Yeah. How many days have I been out now? 9? Oh, God.
Yeah. Shut up, liver, you're fine.
Yeah.
March is a very tough month in Austin, Texas.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've been on spring break.
adult spring break in Austin.
Adult spring break since the end of February.
Isn't that kind of like life in Austin? Johnny and I are both natives, so you're originally from New York, Drew, and then we're living in California before got the
I'm one of those
the call to come to the ATX.
Yeah, I'm one of those blowing up the town. Yeah, I got the call to come to ATX, but you know, from Manhattan, raised in Sleepy Hollow, New York, where you know the legend of Sleepy Hollow.
Oh wow,
that's it.
Washington.
Are you Ichabod Crane?
I've been accused as such. I think I have striking features, strong jawline like him.
Very strong.
About as muscular as he is, which isn't very.
Massive.
Just a big wet noodle.
Well, now, Drew, we do know that you're an avid golfer.
Oh, yeah.
And, in fact, we were talking a little bit earlier about Bethpage, and you've played up there before. So.
I haven't played the Black. So Bethpage – State Park, they've got 5 courses. They've got the Black, where they're having the PGA Championship right now.
That's long.
It is long. It's like 7,468 yards, and it's a par 70. That's
Tiger misses the cut.
Tiger misses the cut, which I'm sure the television networks aren't pumped about, and that the PGA isn't pumped about. And I don't think anyone's all too pumped about it. But you know, he's human, man. He's missed 18 or 19 cuts in his career.
Right.
and Brooks Koepka, who is just making easy work of what's rated as the fifth toughest course in the country.
And he
has missed 19 cuts in his young career.
Wow. Yeah.
So just to show how dominant Tiger, like, you know, cut the guy some slack on missing a cut.
It's all right to miss a cut every once in a while.
You know, he didn't have that fairway finder yesterday. And that's kind of the punishing thing at Bethpage there.
Right.
It's like, if you're not in the fairway, that lechuga is thick.
Nice.
It is real thick, and you're not going to score, and you're not going to make the cut.
But Brooks just came out and almost called his shot this week. I mean, he's just talking about how he was going to go out there and dominate, and lo and behold, he's doing pretty good.
I mean, the man's got a 7-shot lead. It's kind of akin to when Tiger first won the Masters.
Yeah. Running away with it.
And Colin Montgomery came out and was like, he was like, called Tiger shot for him. He was like, here's what's going to happen. This guy's not going to lose. He's going to grow his lead.
Yep.
Like, we're all in trouble for a long time.
Yeah.
But now Tiger is the reason that all these guys are so good now and so fit.
Because they watched him.
And it's a fit. I mean, I'm not saying Brooks is good because he's fit and, you know, he's a stud.
I mean, my girlfriend's got a thing for Tommy Fleetwood.
He likes that long hair.
He's dressed up like Tommy Fleetwood.
Well, I do. When I cut my hair, and so I don't have the good hat flow currently, but I'm working on it. She likes Tommy, and boy, I like Brooks.
Yeah,
Brooks is nice. Yeah, he's nice looking. He's no Jordy, but he's nice.
But all those guys. I mean, you look at, you know, this next generation of golfer, and they're all fit.
Amazing.
They're all. You know, I mean, I'm not saying they're all jacked like Brooks. But
no, but even like JT, like Justin Thomas, he got too skinny,
yeah.
I feel like.
Spieth's kind of like, getting a little skinny.
They're all skinny. I don't know what y'all are talking about. They're all skinny.
Well, comparatively speaking.
I mean, you guys are like, oh, he's fit. I mean.
You see JD out there, John Daly?
Oh, yeah.
So he's got a cart this week. You know, he's got a bum knee. He's rolling with cart. Someone snapped it. He's ripping heaters. About a dart. He's running about a dart a hole. And
with his McDonald's cup?
Yeah, no. So if you see his cart, he's got a big McDonald's cup.
Yeah.
And then he's got empty cans of Diet Coke just like scattered all over his cart and a pack of heaters. And he's doing
that's old school. You don't see that a whole
lot.
He
does not give a crap.
No.
He does not get crap.
I don't think he has since the 90s.
I'll take a John Daly over an Arnold Palmer.
Yes, you will.
You know what I mean? That's
what are we talking about here?
You know what I'm talking about.
But, I mean, you know, back
talking
in,
drinks.
Back in 2000, Tiger and Vijay Singh were the only two guys that had any sort of workout regimen.
Right.
And now it's everybody.
Yeah.
It's everybody. And you have...
Well, when you get to that dollar amount and what people are winning on a weekly basis, you know, survival of the fittest.
Yeah, and I think you see also parents these days going, well, you know, my kid's an athlete, but I don't want him getting just, you know, beat to crap playing, you know, whatever, if it's football, if it's
right.
hockey, just it's you know, it's a nice, comfortable, safe
right.
sport.
Correct.
Where you can play it for the rest of your life. It's a beautiful game.
Yeah.
I mean, I started playing when I was 4 or 5.
Wow.
And
who got you into the game?
My dad got me into the game. He started taking me to the range, and then we went to my family moved to Los Angeles and Rancho Park Golf Course out there, which is known for as one of the busiest golf courses in the country, home of the 6-hour round.
It's not just Mo Willie.
And I learned from a pro there named Ed Coleman. And Ed Coleman is known as he passed away a few years back, 91, and he gave more lessons than any other PGA professional ever, like over 100,000
wow.
people he coached.
Incredible.
And it's spreading the game.
That's just passion.
I didn't find out until his funeral that he's also an avid tap dancer.
Wow.
Are you into tap? Pick that up. I was going to take tap when I was a kid, and my dad was like, I'm not going to have Tommy Toon. Tommy Toon's not going to be my son.
Yeah.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Big Ugly Tailgate. We've got Drew Murray here, and we are at the Chive World headquarters talking golf, tapping, And tailgating.
And you can even, if you guys, for anybody that is interested in coming down here to the Chive, email tours@thechive.com to make a tour reservation. I would highly, highly encourage anybody, if you've never had a chance to come down here and visit these guys at the Chive and what they're doing, not only in the Austin community, but across the internet and doing good, positive things. So appreciate you guys, you know, just rocking and rolling.
And we've all gone down the slide now. We've got
Has Casey gone down the slide yet?
Casey went down first thing when he got here. He literally walked in, went straight to the slide, and went down. He's like, I'm getting this out of the way.
You went beard first.
Yep. Beard first. It kind of catches you at the end.
Yeah,
people try to hold themselves, but there's a governor at the end that kind of just stops you.
Slows you down. Yeah. It's a steep slide.
It is the legal limit of how steep a slide
can be.
I think it's just straight 45 degrees.
Yeah, nice.
So you get moving.
You go.
I bet you get some people liquored up and they go down there and just fly off the end of it.
They go booty over tea kettle, man. I think they're trying to they put their feet down and they go whoop.
Yep.
Feet up.
I even saw, like 3 weeks ago, I was downstairs working and all of a sudden a dog came flying down.
Oh, shoot.
Stop.
I'm going, whoa.
Fight
up. I was, what?
Were there nail marks right behind it?
Yeah.
It was quite elegant, actually. Stuck the landing. And
kind of looked around like, where am I at?
Yeah, but it's cool. Middle of the day, nothing was going on. I was, and it was someone who worked.
That's what you're going to have when you office at the Chive.
That's right.
Dogs coming down slides.
Our pets' heads are falling off.
So what happened to the window over here?
The head-butting
contest.
The window in the conference room we're sitting in is shattered.
I was on vacation for when that happened.
Well, that's good, though.
But I've heard it was a bird. I heard it was a plane. It could just be a pressure thing. But someone said it was a bird.
Bird.
That is a strong bird. That's a big window.
He splintered the whole window. I mean, that's a 10-foot window.
It's a big one.
It's shattered.
Do we have any pelicans in Austin?
Just Louisiana.
Just Louisiana.
It's the state bird of Louisiana, in fact.
That's right. And I was and number one draft pick.
Yeah. And how about that? Zion going down to New Orleans. I know Master P's excited. I saw him talking about it. He thinks that Zion could be bigger than LeBron was in Cleveland.
So the NBA draft already happened or just the lottery?
Just lottery.
There's going to be some trades.
Yeah, there could be. But I think
the question is Anthony Davis going to hang out?
And, that's it.
You know, I think they
get him a max contract.
I mean, my man's going to get paid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, NBA basketball, that's where you want to be right now. Those are the big money guaranteed deals. I mean, I know baseball still's got huge contracts. What, Mike Trout had like a $425 million contract.
Are you kidding me? Like, what do you mean? That's nowhere near. That's ridiculous.
But they're also, you know, he's getting signed to like a 12-year deal where NBA.
It's
like,
all guaranteed.
These guys are like, I don't want to sign a deal longer than 5 years because in five years,
Rangers,
I can negotiate.
You know the Rangers are still paying A-Rod?
Yeah.
Because they owe him what? They signed him to $250 and then they traded him. So they traded him to the Yankees. I don't even think it was a trade. Because I know the Yankees didn't pick up that contract. So he's still getting paid by the Rangers. I mean, it's just because it's all guaranteed. That's the best thing about baseball is that, you know, you don't have like in football, you see these guys, he signed $50 million or $60 million. What you look at is guaranteed. Because that's really all you're going to get.
Yeah.
They'll back end load your contracts in the NFL to where your last 2 years is where all your big money comes, and they cut your ass.
Yeah, I mean, in the next 10, it's sooner than that, 5 years, the top players in the NBA are going to be making $50 million a year.
Yeah,
guaranteed on basketball aside from everything else.
It's so out of control that in the NBA they trade contracts now. Just to get, you know, get their books right or whatever, but it's nuts.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane.
But I think going down, if Anthony Davis will stick around, maybe they add one more player off in free agency, and that's it. Maybe Kyrie. I don't know.
Can they afford Kyrie?
I've also seen where the Pelicans, I guess, the thought is that they go ahead and trade Anthony Davis to the Knicks. Okay, and then with that for the third pick, go get R.J. Barrett. Now you got Zion and R.J. on the same team, and you've got a pretty formidable group going for the next couple of years down in New Orleans.
Yeah.
But if you can, if you can, you don't get rid of AD. That is a
absolutely not. But unless he's going to commit to New Orleans,
you can't teach size, baby.
No, you can't. But unless you're going to commit to, you know, that team for the next so many years with Zion, I mean, they've got something brewing down in New Orleans.
I don't know. I'm a Bulls fan, and I think got a lot of young talent. I was like, well, we got a 12.5% chance of getting Zion. That would be something. So I don't know what we're going to do. I was spoiled.
What was it, seventh pick for the third year in a row for the Bulls?
Yeah, just swimming in a sea of mediocrity.
Well, it's okay. I remember back in my heyday, growing up a little bit in the Midwest in Champaign, Illinois. I mean, I was the biggest Michael Jordan fan. I thought by far – I mean, he was a god. When you were, 9 years old, 10 years old, and this guy's just up the road in Chicago – my dad took me up there to see him play one time, and it was the greatest experience I've ever had.
I went to Michael Jordan flight school.
Nice.
When I was in middle school.
Did you get the jumpsuit and everything?
I didn't get a jumpsuit, all that. I got a scar over my left eye because I took
An elbow?
A non basketball injury. They had to stay in this kind of like motel thing, and it's in Santa Barbara. They do it at UCSB.
Gotcha.
And I walked into the rec room, and some guys were playing ping pong, and I took a paddle. They didn't see me walking in the room. Took a paddle to the face.
Yeah.
But it was cool. They have all like a lot of the top college players that are the coaches for the team. So one of my claims to fame is I crossed up Marcus Jordan and took him to the hole.
Oh, there you go.
But even though he was playing 2 years up.
Yeah, you were playing a year down. He was 2 years up.
Jeffrey's older brother was playing 2 years up also.
Right.
So, but everyone was, everyone had their shoes on, their sneakers. I'm loving seeing all these, like, the Air Jordan golf shoes.
Yeah.
The
big hit.
Our boy Pat Perez, William Murray Golf, he's our guy. And psyched to see him back out on the course.
Yeah.
We thought he tore his Achilles. He had the KD injury, like the strained calf.
Yeah.
And so now he's back playing. He's playing decently this week at the PGA.
Bethpage.
Yeah, but Bethpage.
Yeah,
Bethpage.
That's
right. Yeah, that dang. That's the one course when I played Tiger on the, the video.
On the video game.
Oh yeah.
That was the one course I was like, dang, this is a long course because they had them exact. But that's where I started falling in love with golf courses because Tiger was golf. He had the exact courses on there, and you're like, wow, okay,
It's a long track.
It's a long track.
I played I got around Christmas time. My girlfriend's from Dallas, and I spent the holidays up there. And a friend of ours invited me to play this course called Merido. And it's a newer club. It used to be called the Honors Course and mm-hmm. all that. And this guy, this oil guy came in and put some money into it. It's only like 2-3 years old. It is the hardest course I've ever played. From the tips, it's over 7,800 yards.
Wow.
So you're the type of golfer that I don't play with. You play with the tips? I'm a blue guy. I don't go all the way back there.
Casey's at the Reds.
Where's the ladies' tees?
Yeah. We pushed it. We played it probably 73. And I thought I was playing. I played really, really well. And I shot 80.
Yep.
It was
tough.
So hard. Really cool though. I know Romo's a member out there.
At Merido.
He's honing his skills on a tough course, playing there in like Trinity Forest. Hey,
listen, I was proud of the way he performed up in Dallas. A lot of people talk about he didn't make the cut and all that.
I didn't expect him to make
the cut. He did better than 10 other players that are on the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
I mean, does he deserve to be there? If he plays better and gets in the mix, yeah, absolutely. But I think Romo's doing a pretty good job, calling football games. But when you're not calling football games, you got a lot of time on your hands.
Got to do something.
I mean, that's a great way to go.
Yeah, he's taken care of. He's all set up. So, I mean,
getting that Skechers money now.
Oh yeah. He don't have a problem with going out there playing four rounds a week. Golly, that's really too nice. Much golf for me. I couldn't play back to back days.
Really?
No.
Oh, you can get me out on the course anytime.
You got it.
I'm ready.
See, I can't go, like, a couple of my buddies are like, hey, we're going to go on, like for a bachelor party, we're going to go on a golfing tour and play two rounds this day, one round that game. I'm like, that's too much golf. Like, let's play in the morning. Let's play 15 holes and be done with it. Start drinking. Go fishing. I don't know.
Well, and speaking of good golfers, we've got another caller that's just calling in from the great state of Louisiana, Super Bowl MVP, former Westlake Chaparral, Drew Brees. Drew, are you with us?
I am. How are you doing?
Doing good, Drew. Where are you at this morning?
I'm actually in Washington, D.C. I'm out here for an autograph show. So took the red eye from San Diego, so I'm dragging a little bit right now. But had to get on the radio with my boy.
Absolutely, man. Well, you're listening here to The Horn. We're on air with Drew Brees here. And, Drew, you know, being an Austinite, we're talking around here a lot about breakfast tacos and places like that. What do you – growing up here in Austin, what was your favorite breakfast taco while you were living here in town?
Man, that's a good one. You know what? So I remember a bunch of weekends I would actually drive out to Dripping Springs with my stepdad and my mom. He owned a small piece of property, and so we'd get up early in the morning and drive out there and, you know, like clear land and do different stuff on his property. But I remember there was this taco shop on the way there, and I don't know the name of it. I don't even know if it still exists because Dripping Springs has obviously exploded, and it's like its own city now. Yeah. But there was a spot there, and it was like, I mean, it was more like a breakfast burrito, about as big as your head, and it had all
probably
kinds
like that
of
Valentina's
stuff there. I think it was brisket and eggs and potatoes and you name it. It was awesome.
Avocado.
I think there's some of that was in there.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I'm a taco guy.
Absolutely.
So I'm a lineman. You know how it is.
Yeah. Casey's a big lineman. It doesn't matter. He likes all the tacos.
Yep.
So you're in the midst of the off season right now. What do you got going on now? Getting ready for the season.
A lot of family time, which has been great. This week especially, my boys. I got three boys, age 10, 8, and 6. They're all involved with flag football, lacrosse, soccer, you name it. So this week just happened to be playoffs for all of them. So actually,
so you are the definition of a donut dad
right
now.
You're a donut dad.
Hey, was it called Flores?
No, you know,
Flores?
And by the way, I didn't know that donut dad term until recently. Does that kind of go with like the soccer mom? Is it the soccer mom and the
you're
donut
welcome.
Dad?
You're welcome,
it?
Drew.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, the target demographic for our show, you know, we're an early Saturday morning show, so we catch a lot of donut dads on their way to pick up, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
so.
Perfect.
The real heroes.
Perfect.
The real heroes of the family.
Do I get a donut for being a donut dad?
Absolutely.
I mean, after you deliver the product to the family.
Yeah.
You know, take care of the women and children first.
No, see, you're just like my wife. My wife, so listen to this. So I take this one time we came down from Houston. It was like my, I don't know, third, fourth year in the league. And we came down in from Houston and we stopped by, and we're staying out in the domain. We stopped by Home Slice to grab a pizza. She's like, don't eat it while you're driving. Wait till we get to the hotel. We get to the hotel. The pizza's not even
pizza's
hot.
Gone.
It's cold.
Yeah.
And she's like, I was like, now taste it. She goes, okay, now I understand. It's the same thing with a donut. If you get a hot and fresh donut, you got to eat your couple of donuts on your way home before
Casey,
you get to the kids.
She's just worried about making sure that she gets some, though.
But, no, it's the principle behind it. If it's hot and ready to roll, you got to eat it then. You got to at least have one slice or a couple of hot donuts from Shipley's or something like that, or wherever your favorite donut spot is.
We're joined by Drew Brees here on Big Ugly Tailgate on The Horn. So, Drew, what do you think? Do you get a donut or what?
Yeah, I used to partake in donuts, but I'm unfortunately, while I'm playing, I'm trying to be pretty disciplined with the diet. So the donuts are not quite on the diet plan right now, but there will come a time when it is Bear Claws and Boston Creams, and they're all coming back here at some point.
Gotcha. Well, we are sitting here live with Drew Brees of the New Orleans Saints, and you guys got a couple good players in the draft. We got an upcoming season where you guys almost made it to the Super Bowl. What are your thoughts about going into the next year and what you guys have to do to be successful to get to the Super Bowl?
Well, I felt like we had a good draft as well. Obviously, only time will tell. You know, we'll see how we start OTAs next week, which is great. So watch the team come together, see what these young guys bring, see what some of the free agents, you know, where they'll fit in. But I like our team. We got a lot of guys coming back, but you got to reestablish your identity every year, every off season. You know, every other team in the league is retooling as well, you know.
Sure.
So everybody gets better. and we're all kind of starting over together.
Hey, Drew, question for you real quick. You know, I was drafted in 07, and the game has changed. And you, when was your first year?
01.
01. So, like, from 01 to now, 2019, it's crazy how much the game's changed. How do you adapt to that? Just I mean, I understand you have to because it's part of the job. But, I mean, just how the game's changed from your first year to now, it's just, it's night and day different. It's crazy to me.
Yeah.
Think about that.
You know, it's I feel like guys coming in to today's game are so much more prepared, you know, and I don't know if that's – I'm just looking at the quarterback position specifically. I look at what guys coming in now, some of these young first- and second-year guys, and they are so much more knowledgeable about the game than I was – back when I was a rookie or second year player. And so attribute that to, you know, there's tons of coaches that flip flop between NFL and college. So a lot of the schemes are the same, both defensively and offensively. So maybe there's not as much, there's a ton of carryover between both. The emergence of all these 7-on-7 passing leagues and academies and everything else. Mm-hmm. You know, these high school kids spend their entire summers going around playing ball, you know. So I think kids are just, they're really good. They're really prepared. And they're a lot more polished, I'd say, than I was when I was coming in. The game is so mental for us at the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. You know, you're always trying to stay ahead of the curve. You're always trying to kind of find a new edge, you know, each off season. So I've taken the same approach every off season. That is, what can I do from a training perspective, recovery perspective, diet, you name it, just evaluate where I'm at, and what I'm trying to improve upon, and just dial it in each season.
Now, Drew, one of the things that I don't think a lot of people realize is that, was it freshman year at Westlake? Was your first year in pads?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Freshman year was first year in pads. I was flag football before that.
Yeah, so, and what you're doing now with F&A and getting kids into the 7-on-7 and the touch football, the flag football. If you'd speak a little bit about what you guys got going on.
Well, it teaches.
And to your credit, Drew, I mean, you were honing your accuracy skills in that same way as you were growing up. So do you see a parallel to providing, you know, this next generation an outlet of the 7-on-7?
Absolutely. First of all, we understand the climate that we live in nowadays in regards to tackle football, right? Tons of parents are concerned about their kids playing tackle football before a certain age. And honestly, I put myself in that category. You know, I probably wouldn't let my kids play tackle until middle school or beyond. I just don't think it's necessary to take the risk. And I think that they can accomplish so much by playing flag football. I think that they can develop many of the skills and the fundamentals, especially the passing game. I mean, that's basically all of what flag football is once you get past a certain age. But
then you got us, you know, big really, guys, though, you know what I mean?
Well, no, but here's the thing. The thing we say about flag football is the big guys don't have to realize they're a lineman yet because everybody on the field is a skill player.
Then you guys don't even pass us the ball and you just shame us even more. We understand we don't get to touch ball much, but
listen, there are guys I see every weekend playing flag football, like second, third, fourth, fifth grade, that if they had pads on, they would be a lineman. But they are playing quarterback, they're playing receiver, playing running back, they're getting interceptions. If these guys are ballers and they're getting a chance to play, be a skilled position player, where otherwise there is no chance, they wouldn't even let them touch the ball in tackle football. So basically what we've done, Johnny, you mentioned it, F&A. So we actually, like a couple of years ago, my partner and I kind of took a look at the flag football landscape around the country, and we said, you know, there's really no uniform standard for flag football. And so we want to create that. We truly want to create the gold standard for flag football in this country. So we established Football in America. We just call it F&A. So F&A, it's a co-ed flag football league for ages or grades kindergarten through eighth grade. We've got 13 leagues nationwide right now. We'll probably have close to 20 in the fall, probably have close to 30 or 35 next spring. So we play
That's
fall
awesome.
And spring. It is an absolute blast. It's as much fun for the family as it is for the kids themselves. But at the end of the day, I think this This is a way for kids to get involved in the game of football, to develop a love and a passion for it. And you know what? I'd say a vast majority of the kids who play will never go on and play tackle football, and that's okay.
Sure.
Because at the end of the day, you just want to expose them to the game and allow them to develop all the life skills that you can from the great game of football. So no, I think we're on our way to accomplishing that, and I'm pumped about it.
Drew, how can people find out more information about that?
You can go to playfna.com. That's our website, and tells you all about the league. It also shows you all the locations where we are currently playing. And if you are interested in being a commissioner somewhere, then give us a call, and we'd love to start that process.
Do you have awesome. David? Do you have David Thomas a commissioner yet? And out there in
David
Lubbock.
Thomas out in Lubbock. No, but we've been talking about it. We've been talking about it.
Yeah, I know
it.
You played with Davis. Me and him played at Texas together. I know y'all played. We used to do a home and home with you guys during when I played for the Texans. We'd always come down to New Orleans, or y'all would come to Houston, and I always told Kubiak, I said, "Hey man, why do we have to go somewhere else where it's just like Houston? It's like another armpit. Can we go somewhere that's a little bit cooler or something like that?" No, you need to get to work.
Yeah, those training camps in Houston and New Orleans are about as bad as you get weather-wise.
God, bad. But I did appreciate the watermelon y'all had, the fresh watermelon after practice. And then they had that – I know y'all are sick of it, and David was like – because I remember walking out of practice one day with David, and he was like, I'm like, you're not getting any of these oysters that have butter and garlic and cheese?
Y'all have butter at practice? Or
they had
oysters?
They had charboiled oysters when we were walking on the bus, and they had just had them chucked, and nobody wanted them. And they only give you four at a time, so I was like, okay, I'll take your plate. Yeah. Sitting there on the bus just crushing oysters. I mean, that was my favorite part, well, besides playing.
And, Drew, we'll get you out of here real quick, but I know next week or June 1st, you got your big Breeze Dream Foundation event up in Las Vegas at Topgolf. You know, talk a little bit real quick about what you guys are doing with Breeze Dream Foundation and the efforts that you guys are doing there.
Sure. So this will be our third year to do it in Vegas, fifth year total for this event specifically. So we call it the Top Golf Challenge, which is one of our big fundraisers for the year with a lot of our corporate partners and people like yourself who come out and support the event, which is awesome. We have a great time and raise a bunch of money for our foundation, which has a focus just with a lot of children's causes. But whether it be working with Children's Hospital or other pediatric cancer organizations to help improve the quality of life for patients with cancer, or whether it's continuing with the rebuilding efforts in and around New Orleans when it comes to schools, parks, playgrounds, athletic fields, child care programs, mentorship programs, you name it. So we've got a lot of stuff in the works right now as a foundation. A lot of it in New Orleans, but also in San Diego, back at Purdue University, and around the country. So We're excited about all the stuff we have going and excited about the Topgolf event. We're sold out, so it's going to be a packed house. It's going to be
nice.
Gonna be awesome. Yes.
You're going to have my booth ready, aren't you? I'm coming after
you. I'm going to have your booth ready. Let's go.
Let's go.
Drew, that's amazing what you do. And I actually lived in Louisiana when the Super Bowl championship happened. And just having been down there and been in that environment, what you and your family do, not only for that community, but for charities, we've kind of had that as a theme in today's show. I work a lot with military, and I just can't say enough for who you are and what you do for so many people. So thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, Drew, we can't thank you enough for coming online here or coming onto the call line here at the Horn. Know you're busy out there on the East Coast, but appreciate you checking in. We'll have to get you on maybe during the football season so you can really tell us what's going down. But again, if you're looking out there for more information on flag football in America, you can go to playfna.com. Drew, can't thank you enough for coming on, and best of luck this season.
All right, guys. Thanks. See you soon.
You got it.
Have a good one.
Well, that was it right there, guys. That was fun.
Yeah, that was good old Drew Brees right there, the Westlake hero.
You never know who's going to call in here to the Big Ugly Tailgate on the Horn, so I'd recommend you guys listening in every morning or every Saturday.
Absolutely. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with more Big Ugly Tailgate.
Boom.
Back to Big Ugly Tailgate on the Horn. Big Ugly Tailgate is brought to you by Twisted X Brewery, the official beer of barbecue.
Welcome back to Big Ugly Tailgate. I'm Ashley Kamrath, joined by Johnny Rogers and Casey Studdard. We are so glad you're tuned in this morning. A beautiful Saturday morning in Austin, Texas. Not that the weather's good, but it's always beautiful when you can wake up in Austin, Texas. We've got a crowd gathering, an invite-only crowd gathering, here at the Chive World Headquarters in downtown Austin. We did a social media contest and said, hey, if you want to come join us at the really amazing place that is Chive World Headquarters, enter this contest. And we had a couple guys win, and they're hanging out here with us. There's some beverages flowing because
Longhorn legend Todd Gilfillan in the house, one of our loyal listeners.
Todd's one of those guys
that started just pounding the pavement and calling in and saying, we want an extra hour of the Big Ugly Tailgate. They were outside picketing. The signs were up. It was going. So we're going to have an extra hour for everybody this morning.
You get another hour of us for this Saturday morning from live from the Chive World headquarters. So thanks, Todd. Thanks for beating the pavement for us.
Oh boy. And thanks also to our sponsor, Twisted X Beer, and Hunter Stewart, and the guys are out there in Dripping Springs. Appreciate all that you guys do for us. If you've never had the opportunity to go out to the Twisted X Brewery, I would highly recommend
beer.
It's a great beer.
Mm-hmm.
All of them. All of them. I got all different kinds of flavors.
Don't drink in radio.
That's it. I think that's when the most fun happens.
Or do.
You can't drink on live air.
That was not a sound effect.
Yeah, I know, but that's good. What is that? That's some good. Can I say it? That's good rum.
Absolutely.
It's 9 o'clock in the morning. We're drinking rum. That's a day starter.
Or 10 o'clock.
It's
we're
10.
Getting there.
It's 10.
We're getting there.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm almost there then. So I got 8 minutes, and I'll be okay. I can justify it now.
If y'all want to hit us up on the text line 512-337-3776 or call in 512-447-3776. We've got a text here. We had Drew Brees call in.
We did.
Our last segment. That was awesome.
That was very cool of him. I know he's a busy guy between football, endorsements, kids. I mean, he's a donut dad, but you know, he's a hustler too. So he was out on the East Coast, and really appreciate him coming in and talking about football in America and all the other things that they do.
Do they still live out in San Diego in the off season?
They spent a lot of time out there. They spent a lot. I mean, obviously, they spent a lot of time.
Awesome. It's just so damn expensive out there. I love San Diego.
If we had the weather, Austin, Texas would. I mean, everybody would be coming here.
Oh, I know.
There's nothing.
I mean, everybody is coming here, but minus June gloom, I cannot stand. I mean, we've kind of been experiencing that here for the past month. I can't stand June gloom out in San Diego because you're in just this really awesome town and the beautiful beach and everything, and it's like, meh.
I went there for the Holiday Bowl, and I remember sitting there. I don't even remember who we played, but it was like my second year here at Texas, my redshirt freshman.
Is that Majors?
Year.
Was that when Major was the quarterback?
No, I wasn't here with Major. Okay. He was a coach when I was here, but that was it.
Right.
We were out there, and I just remember being out there. It was like my first time in California, whatever, as like kind of an older person.
Adult. We call those adults.
Yeah. But I don't think I was an adult when I was 18, 19, was I?
According to the law.
But I mean,
you can vote.
But I mean, I'm not. I still don't. Like, I don't associate myself as an adult.
Right, right.
Until like I'm at least 28.
There you go.
That's probably when I turned into an adult.
Well, I'm
27, I think. Maybe.
Peter Pan over here is still trying to grow up, so I feel like.
Yeah.
Never.
But I mean, I went down there and I was sitting there and I was like, damn, a cheeseburger's $13
for
a single?
Yeah.
God, at least I come with a massage and a whistle in my ear, a kiss on the neck or something before you just give it to me. I mean, God dang, warm me up.
Yeah.
But.
Well, San Diego is a great spot. I mean, the weather is awesome. And yeah, Drew still spends a lot of time in San Diego. You know, that's where him and Brittany started their family. They've got a lot of good friends out there.
Yeah,
so,
he's a good
so in addition to what he does in New Orleans, you see him making an impact on a national level.
Yeah. See, I didn't know. I've never, I mean, I shook his hand, played against him, you know, a handful of times. And, been in his presence before, but he's a really it's kind of crazy because, like, you know, David Thomas was a guy on our football team that everyone kind of
He was a stud. He played.
He was a stud. He was a good old boy. You know, never got in trouble. Straight, like, he was that good guy. You know what I mean? And when I heard that him and Drew, they do a lot of family vacations together, I was like, oh, Drew has to be a real good guy if he's Dave is going on.
Right.
Because David wouldn't go on a family trip with me and Lyle. I mean, he'd be like, you guys are too crazy for me. You know what I mean? But that's just, you know, he's like, you guys are nuts.
Yeah, and I'd go down to I'd go down to see New Orleans, you know, go down to New Orleans, see Drew play. And Brittany and David's wife and their kids, they're all running around together. And you know, I don't think you can – what you see with Drew Brees is what you get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, he is that good of a person.
Yeah.
Yes, he is that good of a father.
Yeah.
You know, he's just an all-around good dude. And glad that he could join us on this Saturday morning here at the Horn.
Yeah, very glad he called in. We're talking – that's kind of been the theme, like we talked about today, between tailgating for a good cause or Chive Charities and everything that they do for, you know, men and women and young kids that are struggling and could use a little extra help. And then even Drew Brees doing what, you know, what he does for his through his foundation, rather.
I'm sorry.
Good people doing good things for – go ahead.
No, I started doing that, and so
he was looking at his alcohol.
No, but we can't we're not doing that on air, but what I was trying to say, what were we talking about?
So
you got me all just like, huh, what are we
you're actually going to get an extra hour of Big Ugly Tailgate today. We've got to take a quick break. We're going to come back and finish it off with one extra hour of Big Ugly Tailgate today. We're talking about good people doing good things. So y'all keep it tuned in right here to the Horn, and we'll be back after this.